You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schwab. On the 50th anniversary series of the Isaka Podcast, we're discussing some of the big picture trends that have had a major impact on Isaka's professional community over the past 50 years, and that will continue to going forward. Today, we'll be discussing the evolution of learning and certification for business technology professionals with Alan Boardman, Director of Cyber Advisor London, and a longtime Isaka member and volunteer leader. Alan, thank you for being with us today.
Hello, Jay. Thank you very much for having me.
To get started, how did you become involved with Isaka and find out about some of the learning and certification opportunities that Isaka provides?
So, Jay, I've been involved with Isaka for over 25 years now. I mean, it sounds like a long time, but compared to some of the people who are there from the beginning, it's relatively short. But yeah, 25-year veteran, 20 years of that as a volunteer. So I first became a member and went to my first conference in Zurich in Eurocax 1997, attended local chapter meetings, joined the local London board or committee at that stage as a webmaster in 1999, and eventually became chapter president 2004-2006. And I should add that we, a London chapter, did get the KY's Wren Snipes Award in 2006. So we're very, very proud of that. And then I continued as a volunteer with Isaka on various different things, CISM Certification Committee, speaking at conferences around the globe. And then in 2011, I joined the international board as a vice president. And I served on that board for 3 years, 2011 to 2014, during which time I also chaired the Credentialing and Career Management Board, and I served on the Strategic Advisory Council. And then since moving off the board in 2014, I continued as a volunteer with Isaka, again speaking at conferences around the globe, involved in local chapter meetings, speaking at various chapters around Europe and the UK as well. And I also served on the Audit and Risk Committee for Isaka International, also chaired that for 1 year. And some of my other roles included being on the CGUIDE Certification Committee, which I still serve on today, and also writing questions for the various exams, COVID, CISM, C-Risk, CGUIDE, CISA as well, indeed. And, you know, continued speaking at conferences. So that kind of brings me to where I am now. My involvement, I still speak at conferences. This year, I've spoken at Asia CACs, North America CACs, Africa CACs, Euro CACs just recently, Euro CAC CSX, and will be in New York at InfoSec New York next month. I think I've spoken about 7 or 8 different chapters over the last year, Winchester, London, Belgrade, Windhoek, Lisbon, Cyprus, Milan, and got a UK chapter meeting coming up next month. So heavily involved with Isaka, you know, a regular speaker at conferences, and also heavily involved in the certifications. So I'll pause there for the moment.
At what point did the certification path catch your attention?
My first Isaka certification was CISA back in 1995. I was working at auditors at Marks & Spencer at the time, and one of the guys in the team, Ian Harrison, had just taken the exam and was very positive about the exam and the value it brought to himself and the team. So he convinced me to take the exam, and that, you know, I haven't looked back since then. So that was really my first involvement. What had helped at the time was put some structure around what we were doing and kind of put a framework and a format around IT audit. So it was very helpful for the team at the time. We were a small IT audit team, but it really helped us in terms of focusing on ensuring that we're doing the right things.
What are some of the day-to-day challenges certification can help professionals with? And how have you seen that evolve over the years, given the changes we've seen in the business and technology landscapes?
So in terms of the challenges, you know, I guess we're dealing with rapid change, new technologies, and that's been the theme for some time now. And certifications help in terms of putting some structure around ensuring, you know, one of the things we're concerned about is, are we doing the right things? Are we focusing on what's important for our organizations? Are we doing it in the most effective and most efficient manner? And clearly also concerned, and are we getting those benefits and those values for our organizations? And are we helping organizations manage their risk and putting in place the right controls, et cetera? So the certifications really help us in terms of, you know, as I mentioned, putting some structure around it, helping us being more strategic about what we're supposed to be doing, and provides us with that kind of point of reference that's consistent, and also provides us with that opportunity to share and learn and continuously improve what we're doing.
Going beyond certification, What are some other ways in which you've noticed the learning and training environment evolve the most throughout the course of your career?
Change is this constant, I guess, experiencing massive changes, both in terms of the technologies and the way we're, you know, things we have to deal with, but also in the way we learn. So we just have so many more channels available to us now. I guess I come from an age where a lot of it was instructor-led pre-internet, whereas now everything's online, it's readily available, we're able to learn it at your own pace. It's very much up to the individual to take the bull by the horns and actually drive their own continuous learning. And the opportunities are limitless. So, as I said, it's very, very much up to the individuals. And it shouldn't have to cost them the earth either. So a lot of these resources are now available, and there's a lot more collaboration. There might be opportunities to network and source information from other areas, from other organizations, collaborate and work together, share best practices. So that's really been the big change from my experience. Individuals are able to really raise the bar from a learning perspective, and it helps them move onto a more continuous education pathway. Online resources, collaboration, networking, all those things help us now learn, I guess, much better, much more effective, much more efficient.
As you mentioned earlier, you're a regular presenter and attendee of ISACA conferences all around the world. What have you noticed specifically in that area about how conferences have changed the most since the earlier years of your career?
So I guess the constant there and the things that haven't changed is you've still always got people attending who want to be there, want to experience, share experiences with other individuals that are facing those similar challenges in their organizations, and are very willing to learn and share and collaborate. So that's the same. I guess what's changed over the years is just the different technologies. We have so many different streams now. You know, going back maybe 20 years, you had a conference with, you know, it had one stream, it was around IT audit. Whereas now we've got governance, we've got security, we've got management, we've got soft skills, we've got she leads tech. There's so much more variety. So from a conference perspective, it's more complex to organize and put together, but it also provides the attendees with a much richer experience and more variety, a much more blended approach. And I mean, the other thing I'd add there is that in terms of the speakers, you know, ISACA is very fortunate, able to source speakers from around the globe and, again, you know, consistently provide great presentations covering real life examples, you know, practical things that people are experiencing in their workplace, that are people coming to the conferences and sharing those best practices, sharing those ways that they're dealing with those challenges.
Does it surprise you at all that in-person conferences remain so popular in this era where people have so much access to learning wherever they are at a given time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the style of learning has changed over the years. There is a place for the self-study, the online research, the accessing webinars, etc. But there's really no substitute for that face-to-face chat around the coffee table or around the dinner lunch table, attending those presentations, being able to, you know, ask those questions. That's really an important part of it, which is, I think, is why the conferences are still so popular. The networking opportunities, you know, the discussions with those folks that are having exactly the same challenges as you are, and learning from them and sharing how you do things as well. So sharing those best practices. So, you know, I think conferences continue to be very, very successful and popular in attracting people who have that willingness to learn and to share and collaborate. I mean, the other thing I would add in terms of the conferences is it is also an opportunity to reach out, meet friends you've made before, but also make new friends and build those relationships around the globe, because you never know when you might want to reach out. From a networking perspective, it's really important to build those networks. It's a very rich kind of source for anyone's career.
Given the well-documented pace of change we are seeing with technologies today, such as AI, blockchain, and various other emerging technologies, what is your sense of how much ongoing learning and education is needed for technology professionals today and moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the world we're living now and the digital world we're living in and experiencing, this is only going to become more important. This, you know, the whole concept of continuous learning, lifelong learning, and using all those resources available, whether it's, you know, face-to-face meetings, conferences, you know, online resources, those are all very important for individuals to help them keep up to date with what's going on in the outside world, what's going on in other organizations as well. So it's very much up to the individual to put some structure around their learning and use those resources available to them. And, you know, also very important, people coming into the workplace, they are digital warriors. You know, they don't need to be taught, you know, about the digital economy and digital world, but they need to build those other skills that help them find those jobs and be successful in the workplace. And important to start early. You know, clearly you want to catch them early stage, get them interested into, you know, particularly the space that I guess ISACA operates in, whether it's audit, security, risk, governance, compliance, privacy, etc. So those lifelong skills. But, you know, we talk about the technical skills, but also the kind of softer people-related skills as well. That's really, really important. And, you know, my suggestion to individuals is go out there and become an expert on a particular area. You know, go and do the research. Research a topic, whether it's, you know, make it relevant to your work environment. So, you know, if your organization's working on AI or robotics or blockchain or something like that, go and do that detailed research. Become an expert on the security or audit or blockchain. Do presentations internally. Go to conferences. Do presentations at conferences. Help other organizations, other individuals learn from your experience. So that would be my kind of challenge or suggestion to people out there to build up that skill and help their lifelong learning experiences as well.
What kinds of challenges and opportunities do you see for learning organizations like ISACA in helping learners navigate all of these big changes in our world that are coming at us so fast and furious?
So, I mean, I think ISACA's got a vital role to play here because of its width and breadth of coverage, but really also important that ISACA rises to the challenge and recognizes that, you know, individuals out there have traditionally relied on ISACA to help them further their careers, learn about new technologies, learn about the right way of doing things, that, you know, whether it's controls or security, all those areas, we need to stay relevant. ISACA needs to make sure that it's still relevant in providing those technical skills, but also the kind of structure and the framework for individuals to do that ongoing learning, you know, whether it's through educational conferences, online resources, white papers, research material, all those blended learning techniques and, I guess, facilities that ISACA provides, or tradition has provided. But really the key thing is to remain relevant. I think we have an interesting challenge ahead of us because it's becoming such a vast area to cover. So I think from the constituents' perspective, you know, there will be individuals that will be specialized and would have to be, you know, focus on niche areas, but also there will have to be those generalists, those hybrids, perhaps to take a step away from the detail, from the weeds, and able to help the organizations take more of a strategic view. So ISACA needs to cover that whole width and breadth, whether it's detailed technical skills and knowledge, but also more kind of, you know, governance, managerial, executive level types of skills and experience. The other key thing there is that, you know, the way we actually deliver these learning opportunities, again, need to be blended. There's a move towards providing more practical lab-type training environments, you know, with performance-based evaluations. That's obviously an important part because you want to ensure that the assessments that are being made are testing those technical skills through these performance-based kind of evaluations. So that's an important part, I think, important role that ISACA has to play in this as well. Key thing around knowledge, skills, competencies, all of those things need to be covered. Technical skills, soft skills, the whole, all of them blended together. And again, providing those learning opportunities through the whole life cycle, individuals coming into the workplace, even before they get to the workplace, so students, colleges, schools, catching them early, providing with those entry-level skills and competencies into the workplace, and then supporting them throughout their career as they progress on their journey and, you know, become more experienced, move up the, you know, the chain and add that value to the organizations.
Okay, to close out by putting you on the spot a little bit, what might be a future trend or two that you'd anticipate for how this learning and credentialing space will continue to evolve in the next decade or two?
So for me, the thing that is certain is it will change. It's going to be different. You know, I think things like blockchain is going to play a role in this. Artificial intelligence will play a role in this, and, you know, hopefully help organizations like ISACA to not only, you know, educate and train our constituents in these various technologies, but also use some of those technologies to provide us with a structure and a framework going forward. Exactly what it's going to look like, I have no idea, but I know it's going to be different. And, you know, certainly also providing us with that platform for the kind of softer skill development stuff and ensuring that our constituents have those opportunities to become valuable to the organizations, both at a technical and a kind of personal, you know, softer skill perspective as well. So building out those platforms with more collaboration, having a vision to, again, provide those learning platforms throughout an individual's entire career and supporting them in that as well.
Alan, thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation and your insights today.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks very much for having me. I really enjoyed that myself.
That's our program for today. For more on ISACA's 50th anniversary, visit isaca50.org.